Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 6 minutes now past 12 noon on this Wednesday, March 20th, 2024. It is
Hump Day.
There you go. A Geico Campbell for you on a sunny day. High atop State Street to block off the Capitol Square, the capital city of Madison, Wisconsin, being Wednesday, as it always is. A full slate, a cast of characters, pundits extraordinaire. We start off with none other than the host of Up North News Radio every morning from 6 until 8 on the Civic Media Radio Network. We have Pat Kreitlow joining us from beautiful Lake Wissota. And out where the cherry blossoms due to global warming are ahead of schedule, our nation's capital, former Republican like myself, a Wisconsin native, a Green Bay Packer owner, and Republican, former Republican operative, now a senior advisor with the Lincoln Project, Trigby Olson from Washington, D.C. Gentlemen, happy spring.
We can't hear Pat.
But I wish I was with Pat. I wish I was with Pat on Lake Wissota rather than
It looks good. It looks good, but but it was so cold it took my breath away for a moment there.
There you go.
It's windy and cold again. Looks beautiful, but I just got back home from running errands, and yeah, that wind will get your attention.
Yeah, absolutely. And Trigby, the cherry blossoms ahead of schedule out in D.C.
Yeah, that's true, but I wish I was with Pat in Lake Wissota, even if it's cold.
Always a good day up here. Never a bad day.
You know, it reminds me, Pat's description is a little bit, because we have the NFL draft coming up. Yeah. Ron Wolf used to always say that a player looks like Tarzan, plays like Jane. That apparently is what Pat is saying the weather is like today. Most beautiful place on the earth, but the weather isn't so great.
Yep, that's exactly it.
That's it. Well, gentlemen, a lot to get to. Mr. Kreitlow is going to stick around for the full first half hour today. We appreciate that, Patrick. I want to start off, because there's a lot to get to today. I want to start off right here in the state of Wisconsin. Mr. Zommers, time once again for What's Poppin' with Robin Voss.
Love to hear the Robin go tweet, 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 rockin' Robin, tweet, tweet.
What's Poppin' with Robin Voss?
I love the popcorn effect at the end is my favorite part of that opening. So one time now, once again, for What's Poppin' with Robin Voss. So I'll tell you what's poppin'. And by the way, if you are not subscribing to WIS Politics here in Wisconsin or anywhere, do yourself a favor for spring and subscribe. WIS Politics, our old friend Jeff Mayers, still heading that organization up, a great right-down-the-middle news organization, and they host these luncheons periodically with Wisconsin news and lawmakers. Yesterday was one of those, and it featured good old Robin Voss. And according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today, after calling the nomination of Donald Trump as the GOP presidential candidate a, quote, suicide mission for Republicans, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss now says he believes the former Republican president can win the Badger State this fall, and went on down on bended knee, genuflected, metaphorically speaking, and endorsed Donald Trump. Pat Kreitlow, what say you?
Shocked. I am shocked, shocked to find out that there is another elected Republican who is first skeptical of Trump, warning people of the dangers of Trump, saying that his supporters are whack jobs and morons, and then kissing the ring. Robin Voss is only, what, the part infinity example of how this has happened, and woe to the Republican Party we used to know.
I know. Mr. Zommers, we have that clip from yesterday from Voss.
Not yet.
All right, very good. He's working. We have a little clip from Voss we'll play. Trigby Olson, you're familiar with Mr. Voss as well. What's your take on this sudden change of mind?
I am sad that he is taking the Scott Walker approach to Donald Trump, but I am not shocked. I am not shocked, probably, although disappointed might be a better word.
Well, here's the thing.
Sad.
here's the thing. I'll get this on the table because I really haven't talked about this much on the show. There is an attempt to recall Robin Voss right now by MAGA-type Republican types who are angry at him because, in their view, he did not do enough to do a recall against Janet Protasiewicz or Megan Wolf, the administrator for the Elections Commission here in Wisconsin. Basically, he's not crazy enough for some of these people, so they're trying to recall him. I lived through the George Petak recall over the Brewers Stadium and all the other recalls of both the Democratic and Republican side. I am not a fan of recalls. I view recalls as basically like impeachment. It should be for high crimes and misdemeanors. So I don't believe that they should, that Robin Voss deserves a recall per se. But I mean, this just shows the guy is apparently he's going to run for re-election. I mean, there was some talk that he was going to maybe not run, but he's sticking around for a while, Pat.
He is, because again, you know, he knows there's nothing else he can do unless he wants to, you know, become a lobbyist or something like that. But that doesn't have any degree of power. I mean, look at the power the guy has here. He was able to, you know, he stops bills that come over from the Senate that would care for new moms and give them medical coverage for a year instead of 60 days. And he kills the bill single-handedly because he can. Who wouldn't want that kind of power to, you know, make orphans unhappy and, you know, close them down the orphanage while you're at it? This is who Robin Voss is. It's about power. And if he's got to, you know, if he feels like the wind is blowing against Trump, he'll say some things about how he's, you know, not a good choice. But if the winds are blowing the other way, well, he's blowing kisses in that direction as well.
Trivi, we're going to get to Walker today's Walker tweet on Tammy Baldwin a little bit later here in this half hour. But I want to start off with one over the weekend. We've talked about it a little bit on our show. I know Pat has as well, about these comments by Trump over the weekend in Dayton, Ohio on the bloodbath. And we played it in the full context of foreign aid and that sort of thing. So as not to be accused of chopping it up. But Walker, right. tell people what Walker tweeted, your response, which ended up being literally an international story.
It did end up being an international story, which was not what I really expected. It also got like exponentially more likes than his original tweet. So I was helping Scott do better on Twitter. So Scott Walker tweeted after Donald Trump said that, tweeted a caricature, which was making its way around the right. And for those who are on Twitter, one of the things that you see that the right does is a really good job of amplifying the same thing. So it was the three definitions of bloodbath, and it had a big red circle around the last one. And he was insinuating that Donald Trump was saying this about the auto industry, not referring to what would happen if he wasn't elected. Now, if you listen to what Trump is saying, he's talking about the audio industry, and then he says if he isn't reelected, and China, and then he's saying if he isn't reelected, it's going to be a bloodbath, and then he goes back to talking about China. Some of it's the nuance of how Trump talks. But the bottom line is, when someone was engaged in insurrection and a coup, leading a coup against the United States government, as I believe Donald Trump was, you don't get the benefit of the doubt after January 6th when you use terms like that. And I also ended up tweeting out after that, which is what caused the story, and it's what I tweeted in response to Scott, was a bunch of research that we had done on the levels of extremism that we're seeing and how much Donald Trump's rhetoric, even in states like Wisconsin, is making Wisconsinites enemies of each other around politics rather than believing that they're trustworthy citizens and political opponents.
And that's why I want to bring this back around to you, first to Trigby, then to Pat. Whether it's people at the national level like John Thune, Mitch McConnell, others who have said they're not going to, Marco Rubio, all these people that said they were not going to endorse Donald Trump ever again. And now they've come back around and done it despite this danger. And here we have it right in Wisconsin, Trigby, of these people that you and I used to know very well and were part of that party. They're not stupid intellectual people. Why are they doing this?
Why are they doing this?
Yeah, because they're not morons. They're not intellectually low IQ stupid.
Well, so I was thinking about this in the context of Robin as Pat was talking. I think it's a little bit, there's the cynical part of it, but there's also the self-interested part of it. But I also think that there's an attempt by what are more establishment Republicans who have tried to stay in the fold. They constrict themselves all the time trying to justify Trump. And in their own mind, they convince themselves, well, this is really in the best interest, because if it isn't me, it will be somebody more crazy. So I'm actually trying to abate the crazy. And in Wisconsin, unlike in Michigan and some of the other places, and Robin Voss is central to this, they have the establishment, if you will, has kind of maintained a semblance of control, although it's illusionary control. That's what I think he's trying to thread the needle of, and it's self-interest.
Pat Kreitlow.
Oh, it's quite simple, really. I'll just put it in some Republican Trump supporters' voice. I've always wanted Roe v. Wade overturned. Trump said he would get it done. He had to bend or break some rules to get it done with the help of Mitch McConnell, but he got it done. What do I care about democracy or government norms or anything? If that's what power does, then I'm going to follow the guy who is chasing power and can exercise it on my behalf. He'd never use it against me, right?
and yet, arguably probably one of the strongest Republican families in the last 25 to 40 years in this country are the Cheneys. Dick Cheney, former vice president under George W. Bush, former secretary of defense under H.W., a congresswoman in her own right, third-ranking Republican in the House, said this in the Washington Post yesterday, quote, "I will do everything I can to make sure Trump is never anywhere near the Oval Office again." She went on to say that means re-electing President Biden and rejecting third-party candidates. Trigby, huge step for Liz Cheney. Why don't these other guys have the chutzpah of Liz Cheney?
A lot of people don't have the chutzpah of Liz Cheney. She's a Cheney? I don't know.
I mean, guys like Robin Voss are small potatoes compared to the Cheneys. But yet Liz Cheney...
So, you know, this is kind of a funny story. I have this rule called the Stalin rule. When you're fighting an autocrat, which Donald Trump is, and their enablers, you make allies with anybody you have to. And I call it the Stalin rule because Churchill and Roosevelt understood if you're going up against the worst human literally to ever walk the planet, you make an alliance with the second. Liz Cheney gets that rule. A lot of Republicans don't.
And yet, Republicans like Robin Voss, John Thune, Mitch McConnell, they say they're not going to go back. And Donald Trump has one message. We'll be back with Kreitlow and Olson. This is Trump to the Republicans who say they'll never again be Trumpsters.
You'll be back, soon you'll see. You remember you belong to me. You'll be back, time will tell. You remember that I served you well. Oceans rise, empires fall. We have seen each other through it all. And when push comes to shove, I will send a fully armed battalion to remind you of my love. Da 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 da.
Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 20 now past the hour of 12 noon. Thanks for taking us along on your lunch walk. Maybe you're just sitting down chilling, maybe driving throughout the state of Wisconsin, wherever you are listening over the air or on the Civic Media app. We appreciate it. Coming up in hour two, our ride into spring continues. We have some great prizes to give away in hour two, or at least to be eligible to win these prizes. A weekend getaway at Chula Vista Resort, a bike, and a three-way blender. So that's very exciting.
We're a three-in-one blender.
Oh, three-in-one. Sorry, I misread that.
Oh, my God.
A three-in-one barbie. We're having our own political threesome here.
Going with the After Dark show all of a sudden.
You know, we got to push up the ratings. We got to do something. It's always
this
a pleasure.
This is Civic Media, not Cinemax, Todd.
Remember, we used to call it Skinemax back in the day. Our political threesome roundtable continues. Mr. Kreitlow from Up North News Radio every morning, 6 to 8 from Lake Wissota, Wisconsin, where it is beautiful and it is brisk in northern Wisconsin. And Trigby Olson, former Republican like myself and senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, joining us from our nation's capital. Gentlemen, speaking of the nation's capital, Kreitlow all over this morning, these trumped up, pun intended, impeachment hearings continue. We have a cut that Kreitlow found. I think this is fantastic. We want to get this out. This is Congressman Jamie Raskin, a Democrat, asking questions of Lev Parnas, who is a convicted felon, a former Rudy Giuliani acolyte. He's on the stand under oath, not on the stand, but in the committee hearing under oath, being asked questions about from Jamie Raskin. Let's take the cut. It involves our own Ron Johnson and then discuss it.
Were you aware, was Mr. Giuliani aware that these people were basically just doing the bidding of Vladimir Putin?
Absolutely.
So he had no hesitation about spreading lies that were concocted by Russian agents?
As long as it fit the narrative, absolutely not.
How were you and Giuliani able to take these false allegations peddled by corrupt officials and Russian agents and promote and amplify them here in the United States, in our political system? Weren't media groups skeptical of your claims?
Most media groups, I'd probably say all except for Fox and a few other right-wing media groups, didn't want to take any of the information, and that aggravated Rudy Giuliani and John Solomon and other players. And the main group that was being pushed through was Fox, Sean Hannity, and some other media personnel over there. But then there was also other people that were doing the bidding for the Russian people in Congress, like Senator Ron Johnson, like Congressman Pete Sessions that sits here right now, that was with me from the very beginning on this journey into finding up the digging dirt on Joe Biden.
So there is this cut. Pat Kreitlow, you found it. I want to give you the first opportunity. A person under oath who was in the know with Giuliani saying that Ron Johnson was helping the Russians under oath in front of Congress.
Yes, after you know, being convicted of crimes, he's now been willing to cooperate with officials, talk about what he knows during his time as a Giuliani associate while they were admittingly, knowingly making things up with the help of Russian disinformation. And when they found a willing stooge in Ron Johnson, they just kept going to that well as much as possible. Something that, you know, Ron Johnson is still willing to carry that water today. But at least now we have it, you know, in testimony from somebody who was, you know, in the inner circle of this conspiracy to conspire with Russia, that, you know, they knew they had a willing conduit in Ron Johnson.
Trevi Olson, you've worked on democracy around the world, including Eastern Europe. You are banned from Russia by Vladimir Putin himself. You know their modus operandi. What say you?
Well, the term that would be used for Ron Johnson, I think, is a useful idiot. The reality is when you have people who become extremists and when they see the other side as enemies in our domestic politics, it bleeds over and they will make alliances with people who are really our enemies, like Vladimir Putin and Russian intelligence agents. And they don't, you know, whether they realize it or not, that is what they do. And that is the toxicity that we're seeing, driven primarily by Donald Trump and those like Ron Johnson who are willing to appease him. And I think for listeners who are Republicans or conservatives, you have to place yourself. What would somebody like Ronald Reagan and the values of conservatism that you know as it relates to how we approach the world, how would they feel about a United States senator from Wisconsin seeking aid from our enemy?
Pat Kreitlow, I want to get to one more subject here before the bottom of the hour, but any further thoughts on this one?
No, I think that it'll be interesting to hear if and how Ron Johnson reacts to something like this and whether he makes any changes in an approach. Now, look, he's got job security, so he doesn't have to do anything differently. And I won't wait too long for any change in direction from Ron Johnson.
Well, but quickly before we leave this, I mean, up at the 8th Congressional District in Brown County, they had their Lincoln-Reagan Day dinner. And if you look at the guest list, Lincoln and Reagan, I think, would both roll over in their graves if they knew was there. But if you look, one of these guys was Brandon Straka. And there's a great story on MotherJones.com on this guy, Brandon Straka, who was convicted of his own part in January 6th, is in Wisconsin now, in Green Bay, in Brown County, spreading more of these lies. And there was OC Eric Hovde amongst this group of other yahoos like Andre Jacques. This poison is continuing to sink into Wisconsin, guys.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, Trump, we talked on the radio this morning about all of Trump's most recent lies about, you know, that Jews cannot vote Democratic, that NATO, you know, again, that lie about, you know, they're not keeping up with, you know, their expenses. The Iran lie about $231 billion supposedly going instantly from South Korea to Iran, Hamas. These are all things that have been debunked repeatedly. They don't care. They know that if they keep saying these things enough, the media just gets tired of fact-checking, and enough people in their base believe them.
Trigvi, you and I can pick up on this after the next half hour here. I want to get Pat, before you leave us here at the bottom of the hour, Pat, you're a former still a journalist, but you worked in news and television in Northwest Wisconsin. You've been a former legislator. As a news person, as a journalist, a disturbing story to me, the Gannett and McClatchy News Service publishers of more than 230 outlets in the USA Today and Miami Herald said they'll stop using journalism from the Associated Press amid financial pressures from the news industry. What does this say to you?
It says next time I get a Gannett newspaper, I'm going to find a lot of blank space, baby. There's just no, I mean, there's so much AP copy in there already. What are they going to do? They have been nothing but cutback city when it comes to their own journalism. So I wonder if this just isn't a circling of the drain for the folks at Gannett. Again, that's just my own personal concern, right. But I don't see any other valid reason why you would sever a century-long relationship with the Associated Press.
Well, I mean, Associated Press is one of those news organizations that I still think does a great job. Look at Scott Bauer here in Wisconsin, the head of the Capitol Bureau, still plays it absolutely down the middle and reports a great reporter. When we lose that kind of nonpartisan, non-agenda reporting, we're going further into our individual silos. News silos.
Of course we are. All it means is the front sections of USA Today are going to get smaller in that purple section. All the celebrity news just going to keep growing and growing. And where is that Kate Middleton anyway?
These and more new hot news topics every morning, 6 to 8 on Up North News Radio. Patrick, I really appreciate it. I think you're going to join Trivia and I in a couple of weeks for a little on-the-road activity. So more news
cannot
on that later.
Wait.
Me too. Thank you very much, Pat. Appreciate it. Trivia on the other side. The Todd Almost Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon. Mr. Zomers, nice tune. What do you dial up there?
Closer to Free by the Bodines.
Fantastic. Bodines. By request from Mr. Trigvi Olsen, who joins us every Wednesday. Go ahead.
I will add, Todd, I'll let you and we can play a game here. And right. People on who are listening, who want to text in, can text in too. How many times during my lifetime have I seen the Bodines live in concert?
Ooh. Anybody want to take a guess? unlike next hour, when there are prizes, there are no prizes.
No. Well, you might be able to come and have a beer if you're in there. Certain parts of the state. The beer. I'll buy you a beer, and you can eat some of my curds if you're in the parts of the state where we're traveling.
How many times has Trigvi Olsen seen the Bodines live and in person? Not Jethro, but the music group, the Bodines. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, or text us on the Civic Media app. Already a guest in from Andrew in Verona, listening on WMDX 5.
We want to do higher.
Are we going to do higher price? So price is right, higher or lower? All right, higher.
Commented on Facebook with 8 times.
Not higher than that.
A big guess from Troy Mount Horeb on WAUK. Troy saying 23.
Lower, but close.
Really? All right. So lower than 23, higher than 8. Mm-hmm. I feel like Bob Barker here.
They're my favorite. They and Def Leppard are my two favorite bands. Are they really? I know how many times I've yeah. Wow. They're the only ones that I know how many times I've seen.
Like, look at that.
Yep.
All right, we're talking to Trygve Olsen, senior advisor of the Lincoln Project, like myself, a former Republican, and now working for the Lincoln Project, taking on Trump and Trumpism, helping to preserve democracy, not just here in the United States, but around the world. He's done work in Eastern Europe for the Belarusians, is banned from Russia by Vladimir Putin himself. Trygve, before the break, was talking to Kreitlow. I want to give you a shot at this as well. I found this very disturbing yesterday when I heard that the Gannett News Service and the McClatchy News Change, publishers of more than 230 outlets, including USA Today and the Miami Herald, said they're no longer going to use journalism from the Associated Press. What say you?
Well, it sounds like it's a cost thing based on what my understanding of the article that I read on it, that is part of what is happening to journalism. We're mm-hmm. entering this phase where, you know, the whole notion of citizen journalism, the problem with that becomes there's no filter to citizen journalism. And, you know, that ends up impacting us in far more ways than we recognize, because as media is forced to not be journalism as we know it, have known it, with checks on it, what you end up have happening is people don't know what is true. And so they end up basically deciding, I'm going to pick somebody and they'll be the arbitrator. And what's happening is that's happening in a partisan way. And honestly, it's not that dissimilar to what you see in autocratic countries, where you have state-controlled media and there are no alternative points of view, and you don't have that vetting of what is truth and fact and what is alternative facts that aren't based on reality.
To your point, the Associated Press saying, quote, like most newspaper companies, Gannett and McClatchy have been struggling financially for several years. Gannett's workforce shrank 47% between 2020 and 2023 because of layoffs and attrition, according to News Guild. The company also hasn't earned a full year profit, since 2018, according to data provided by FactSet. Since then, it has lost $1.3 billion. So yes, Trygve, as they say, as my old journalism professor, Jack O'Neill, is fond of saying, it all comes down to the dollar sign. But I want to lift up what you said there, because you're someone who has dealt with autocrats, you fought against autocrats. And, you know, when you and I are growing up, we're still old enough to remember the tail end of Walter Cronkite's career at CBS. And at the end of the news, what he said, and that's the way it is, you just believed him. That because there was journalism ethics applied. And not to say that even back then people might not have had an agenda, but you had several people, and what made them viable, what made people want to watch them or read newspapers, was this level of ethics that you knew you were getting the truth. And that seems to just be going away little by little. And it's dangerous, to your point.
Well, I mean, Walter Cronkite was known as the most trusted man in America, right?
Like, right.
Because they had done surveys, and he was that. The arbitrator of what was fact versus what was fiction in that more condensed media market was a set of journalists who had sort of checks and balances on them. And what we have now is a whole lot of people who express opinions, whatever they are, and can put forward, you know, Kellyanne Conway saying alternative facts. Well, she said the word alternative facts in relation to how big a crowd was at Donald Trump's inauguration. There is a documented number of people that have shown up. There are no alternative facts to how many people showed up. And that becomes the problem. And I'll give you an example of it. If you look at the Journal Sentinel's webpage today, there's a story on Republicans citing numbers about Biden and jobs in the state of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And the numbers aren't based on facts, and the Journal Sentinel calls them out on that. That's not woke media or left-wing media or right-wing media. That's just basically stating the reality that what was being pushed was not true. And without those arbitrators, you end up with anarchy. really.
To quote the late, great, former United States Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan, who once famously said, "You are entitled to your own opinions. You are not entitled to your own facts." Daniel yep. Patrick Moynihan.
And that is completely true.
Yeah, 100%. Speaking of people who like to play loose with the facts, let's move to the Trumpster. He's in a little bit of hot water, more than a little. This time, and we talked about this yesterday, Trigvy, that we have a lot of, and you know the types of people that we know, who, in particularly in rural Wisconsin, who say, well, you know, Trump bothers me. I wish you wouldn't say things. But, you know, he was a pretty good business guy. Like, he really knows money. Well, now that's coming out as not the case because he cannot afford to pay these legal settlements now approaching $500 million. Caitlin Collins at CNN did a great little piece about a minute and a half here. We're going to listen to it, get Trigvy's take on the other side. This is Caitlin Collins on CNN kind of exposing the Trump lie of being this rich guy. Mr. Zomers.
What was that? I'm sorry.
Do we have the Caitlin Collins clip? Are you okay?
I don't think we have a
okay.
What Caitlin right. Collins.
Anyway, the point is that Caitlin Collins was playing this. We'll try to get a little bit later, Trigvy. But showing that Trump, in his own words, you know, he in his deposition saying he was worth several hundred million dollars. And then, as it turns out, he can't pay this, and nobody wants to loan it to him. And now the reality is that insiders, the Republican Party, are saying, the Trump world, are saying that he might be okay with letting the government take, say, Trump Tower, thinking he can get it back on an appeal from the U.S. Supreme Court.
Yeah, and then they would pay the maintenance and upkeep while right. they were in possession of it, right? Like. Right. I mean, I don't think people who've been paying attention, if you go back even to 2016, it was pretty clear that the perception of what Donald Trump had tried to create about his wealth was not necessarily what the reality was of his wealth. That doesn't mean that he isn't a wealthy guy. I think there's a lot of PR that went into building a brand, and certainly that brand has value, but it wasn't nearly the value that Donald Trump was trying to say that it was. I just think, and a lot of it was built around, you know, his role on the TV show, right? Like I was doing all kinds of focus groups back then, and people would talk about how good he was in business and whatever. And so, you know, I think that's being exposed. I think, though, at the end of the day, the question that people are going to have to ask themselves is, you know, what kind of country do they want to live in? What kind of people do they want governing? And are they people that they would want as their neighbors?
Right,
really,
right.
At the end of the day, I mean, it seems like a simplistic test, but actually, having worked in politics, it's a pretty good test.
Yeah.
Would I want to live next to this guy?
No, absolutely. We have the clip now. Here's Caitlin. Here's Caitlin Collins, CNN, kind of taking apart this myth that Donald Trump has a lot of money.
Create a lot of cash. I believe we have substantially in excess of $400 million cash, which is a lot for a developer. Developers usually don't have cash. They have assets, not cash.
That's his deposition.
We have, I believe, 400 plus and going up very substantially every month.
A quote there at the end, going up substantially every month, apparently is not true. A reminder about what his attorney, who argued and then lost this case, had to say about this.
This guy is worth a lot of money, billions and billions of billions of dollars. He happens to have a lot of cash.
Of course he has money. You know, he's a billionaire. We know that. There will be a bond and there will be no issues with that.
Well, apparently there are. That much was clear today by what his attorneys told a court here in New York. These are thorny issues, of course, for the man who has staked his entire identity on being wealthy, even appearing in movies like Home Alone 2 as a rich New Yorker, not to mention the theme song for his own TV show.
That's good. We had that yesterday. So, I mean, that's the point, Trivia, to what you were saying is he's built up this narrative, as we know Republicans love to do. He's good at it. He's good at building up this narrative. But I hope that people in Wisconsin that may have voted for Trump in 2016 that still are on the fence, take a look at it. And if that's the one thing that you think you're still voting for is a smart business guy, well, clearly he's not.
No, clearly he's not. I mean, if you look at that narrative that Trump built, right, though, it was built in a way that was about playing to people who fit sort of the profile, the four steps, psychological steps of being extremist.
Yeah.
You know, the first one being I'm distressed about the economy. The second one, I want a simplistic answer. Donald Trump's a billionaire. He must know how to improve the economy. And then when you get alternative facts, you notice that the person from the Trump legal team says, he's a billionaire, we know that. Well, actually, you don't know that. You've just been told that. But when it starts getting questioned, right, what happens is people become intolerant of anybody who questions it because they don't want to address what's ultimately the underlying fear that they have, which is the economics of it and the hope that they put in the simplistic answer.
About a minute and a half in this segment, Twigvy. Elections happened last night, Florida and Ohio, or at least for the last few days here. Trump continues to underperform, thousands of votes going for Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis, even though Trump has now got the delegates to be the nominee. Continues to say, Twigvy, what you've been saying is, looking ahead to the general, Trump has a problem.
Yeah, as you know, Todd, and I've talked about it on the show before, at the Lincoln Democracy Institute, I do survey and quantitative research. And one of the things that we've really spent quite a bit of time and effort on is understanding who are the conservatives, the Republicans, and the former Republicans who exist that are open to placing democracy ahead of election denial or autocratic tendencies. And, you know, we had pegged that number, the total number, at around 14%, maybe 15. And that's up from it was in 2020. It was about 8%. Mm-hmm. What we're seeing in these elections is that number has grown. Now, the question becomes how many of them will go back to Trump versus how many of them might vote for Biden or just sit it out. You know, and there's really two groups. There's Red Dawn conservatives who might go back, or they might be done with Trump permanently, but they're currently really unhappy with him. And so they're voting for Nikki or they're voting for DeSantis. The others, Dobbs dads, it's really a question, can Biden convince them with optimistic messaging that they need to back him again?
Talk about more election results with Trigvy Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, in just a moment. Also, Scott Walker, mean tweeting again. Scott, why gotta be so mean? Talk to Trigvy Olson. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show for a Wednesday on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network across the state of Wisconsin on the statewide Civic Media Radio Network. 13 stations in all corners of the state, and of course around the world on the Civic Media app. If you don't have yours, download it today on your favorite app store, iPhone or Android. Simply type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, it'll pop up, takes less than a minute, it's free, and it's what Gail King calls a deal. The Civic Media app, you can win or be eligible to win prizes next hour in our wonderful Ride into Spring giveaway, so stay tuned for that in hour two. Right now, the best prize of all, getting to spend an hour every week with our friend and ongoing contributor, Mr. Trigvy Olson, who is a senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, also a Green Bay Packer owner. Like so many, an all-around great guy. Trigvy, always a great to have you here. Somebody that you know even better than I do, former Governor Scott Walker, who I know
I
you
don't
spent.
Know about that.
I think you spent more kind of personal time with him because, you know, I never got to Badger Boys State like you and Scott did. But anyway, he was mean tweeting here yesterday. He posted a picture of U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, I'm assuming when she first got to the legislature in the assembly several years ago, and then a picture of her now, not necessarily the most flattering picture. She looks like she's in mid-speech. And of course, you and I, having worked for politicians, know that when any of our bosses start talking and someone takes a picture, you never know what your face is going to look like. And so I guess the point of this was to show a very youthful, young-looking Tammy Baldwin and what he's charging apparently is a not so attractive older Tammy Baldwin. And he says the following quote, Tammy Baldwin has spent a quarter century in Washington. It's time for someone new. Now, Scott likes to brag about the fact his dad is, I believe, a Baptist pastor. He's a very devout Christian. That's fine. I mean, I would say my Christianity is more personal, but hey, to each their own. But I didn't think that was particularly Christian-like, Twigvy. And so I just tweeted back at him this morning, this, quote, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven," unquote, Matthew 5:10. I said, "Be of good heart, Senator Baldwin. Those who are fighting for the meek, the poor, and the least among us are often prosecuted or persecuted by heretics like Scott Walker. That, and he could just be jealous you have a full head of hair. Keep going." So that's because here's the thing. People who don't know, Scott Walker, like myself, and for those watching the stream, I'm going to turn around. I am a balding man. I have male pattern baldness. Look here, you can see on the camera. I'm not happy about it, but it's there. I don't deny it. So when Scott Walker was governor, he started early male pattern baldness. And somebody, the press or somebody said, well, you know, because I think he tried like that spray paint or some kind of thing to cover it up. And he, in a moment with the press, he claimed that he hit his head on a cabinet, fixing the cabinet at the executive residence of the governor's house in Maple Bluff, and it was a scar, not male pattern baldness. But here's the thing. Scars don't usually get bigger. His male pattern baldness has. He just seems to be a very bitter man, Trigby.
He should just shave his head.
Right? You and I are embracing it.
Yeah. Well, you know, honestly, I started shaving my head even before. Like, I started losing my hair, mostly because it's my wife has this friend who's a Lithuanian fashion designer, and he was like, "You have a perfect head to be bald." And I was drinking vodka with him one day, and my wife, and the next thing I knew, I woke up in the morning with no hair. And I was like, "This is awesome. I kind of like it." I don't honestly, like the tweet, I'm sitting here looking at the tweet. Come on, Scott. Like, seriously, you know? Like, this, it's ridiculous. It is really ridiculous, Todd.
It's not Christian.
But it's not. It's just petty from somebody who has, throughout his entire life, wanted to be somebody, not somebody who, you know, that I make that, it isn't even a joke. Like, Scott Walker is the guy who showed up at Badger Boy State, who was running for president of the United States, and everybody knew it. And so... like, he's foundationally, I think Scott Walker is a very insecure person.
Yeah, I think he is
probably
too.
Probably always has been.
And he has this unhealthy desire to be relevant, of which, of course, he really isn't anymore. And even amongst Republicans, people that you and I know that we're not going to mention on the air, he's a laughingstock even amongst Wisconsin Republicans.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, here's the thing is, like, it's kind of like with that tweet. I mean, Scott Walker, because he ran for president of the United States, has like 200,000 Twitter followers. He gets like 12 likes with his stupidity. He got 400 on his Tammy Baldwin tweet. Tell you what, Scott, here's the thing. This is a lesson for you. You tweeted out that stupid thing with the definition circled, and I tweeted substance, and I got three times what you got for your snark about Tammy Baldwin, and I have literally less than one-tenth of the Twitter followers that you have. Well, you're just not good. People don't like that.
Right. No, they don't like it. That's well said. Very quickly to the phone line, Mark from the SAC got about 30 seconds. Mark, can you make it quick? Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, Scott Walker's a small, sad man. And you pointed out just his cabinet injury where the cabinet attacked his head and stole his hair from his head. And it just is, you know, if you want to get mean, you know, I can get, you know, I took enough grief when I was in school, you know, getting teased all the time. But I mean, that I could take Scott Walker down in a minute. I could reduce him to a quivering little heap of goo. But that wouldn't show that I'm a better person. I mean, it'd just show that's, you know, and just point out, Scott Walker is nothing but a pile of goo, and that it just molds whatever situation it is, and that how he, and but he gets paid off for him because now he's head of, you know, whatever, you know, little brown shirt organization he's the head of right now. But
thanks, Mark.
Maybe I'm being unjust there.
No, I appreciate the call, Mark. Thank you so much. Here's the thing, Trevor. You and I know this. This is what really goats former Governor Walker, that he will never be 1/100th of the person or the governor that Tommy George Thompson was, and he has to live with that for the rest of his life, and that drives him nuts.
Yeah. I mean, you can't even compare the two of them.
Yeah.
You know, like whether you agreed with Tommy on policy or not, Tommy was a guy who wanted to do things and foundationally loved the state of Wisconsin. And I will tell you, like, you know, Tommy's a little older now. We're Facebook friends. And every once in a while, I'll get a nice DM from him about my daughters. Like, you know, there's a goodness even on some level in Tommy that just doesn't exist in Scott Walker, even if you disagree with Tommy about policy.
Trevor, you know what we should do? We should take a little trip around Wisconsin and just focus on the goodness. What makes us good as Wisconsinites? Doesn't matter whether it's Republicans or Democrats, just as Wisconsinites. What do you say?
I am 100% in favor of that. I think we should definitely do that.
Done and done. Stay tuned for future details. Trevor Olson, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so very much.
21 times, Todd, is the answer on the Bodines.
21 times.
21 times.
On the Bodines. Yep. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week. Stay tuned for Trivia on the second hour. Thanks, Trivia.